listening. But first, Colin Cullis. I mean, Colin, how many people can truly say they've changed the world for the good? And I think about that for a moment, and very few people have succeeded in doing it. I'd argue that somebody like Travis Kalanick is one of those people. He doesn't seem particularly nice. He doesn't seem like the sort of person that you would want to take home to meet Mrs. Cullis. But he is one of the few people who's changed the world. He has quit today as the Uber chief executive. He will remain on the board of the company, Uber, founded in 2009. And a bit like Google, Uber's synonymous with convenient taxi rides nowadays. We Uber. We don't catch a taxi. And you know, he had a shareholder revolt. His shareholders have effectively told him he needs to step down. So it's a good opportunity today, I think, to review some of the stories that we've been talking about this year. Maybe call it the mid-year review of the big business unusual stories. Are you up for that?
It's exactly that, Bruce. Great way to mention it. And Uber was one of the first businesses we profiled for Business Unusual, and worthwhile taking a look back at it. I'll start with a phrase, though, and you'll see how many of the. There's about five businesses, if time allows, we can get through for this evening. To apply a new term, the Kodak moment. Now, you'd say, hang on, I know the Kodak moment. It's been around forever. Yes, well, you and I know that as that beautiful picture you took that you'll just always remember. Well, it's become redefined. It's the point at which a company becomes irrelevant. That's the new version of a Kodak moment. And, I'm not suggesting any of these businesses this evening are going to have Kodak moments, but we tend to spend most of our time looking forward. Here's an opportunity to look back a little bit. And Travis Kalanick is certainly one of those who has made a change to the world, I think, for the better, despite him having some very questionable ways about
he's been quite brutal. He's been quite mercenary about it. A lot of people don't use Uber because they don't like the ethics of the Uber business model. But certainly people talk about the Uber of fast food or the Uber of this. It's become the noun.
It is because of this classic disruption thing. So it was the one that went to go and focus back on a customer. It was the one that used the technology that would enable it. It sought to go and break rules where everybody else had sort of accepted the status quo. But in doing so, they attracted a lot of negative attention. A lot of occasions they've been found out to be doing things that simply wasn't good. And most of their current troubles were kind of their own doing rather than things that came from outside. And Mashable actually did a count. 14 top executives have exited so far this year alone. And it might be that Arianna Huffington could be one of those central to its recovery. So she and Kalanick had met up and formed a bit of a bond some time ago. And she was a strong backer of his. And she is one of the members of the board. And actually this week, one of a fellow board members had to step down for a sexist remark aimed at her when she was looking to get more women onto the board. But she took that, his stepping down so quickly, as a sign that the Uber culture has changed. They will be able to fix this and things will be able to improve. And they've had a litany of things that have gone wrong for them. And one of it, or a very big part of it that sort of got the ball rolling, was a former staff member there, Susan Fowler. She wrote a blog piece just explaining what had happened when she tried to raise this with the HR departments there and them having done nothing. Well, anyway, she has a pinned tweet, I think, that's quite appropriate, that covers this quite nicely. It says, I would just like to say, just for the record, that I would like to be played by Jennifer Lawrence, because I'm there is no question this is going to be a movie.
It's going to be a movie, of course it is.
It's a fascinating and amazing story for how they managed to do this.
But you look at the controversy around the startup of Facebook, a great story turned into a movie. The Uber story, it's changed the world as Facebook has changed the world. It needs to be a movie. And hey, if Jennifer Lawrence, she's a fun individual, certainly what we see about her publicly, I think she'd go for it. I'll speak to Jen and see if she'll take the job.
Indeed, and let's just be sure that Uber is still, I think, the highest privately valued company in the world, standing at over $70 billion. And at some point, it will list. This is still going to be a very interesting company to watch and is by no means out of the picture. However,
we spoke to David Frankel, one of the South African investors, early investors in Uber. He wouldn't disclose how much he got, but he used some of the money he earned from selling internet solutions to Didata in various projects. One of them includes Uber.
Well, for an early investor in this next company, they really are smiling, because while Uber has its challenges, everything seems to be going perfectly for Amazon. And just recent weeks, some acquisitions they were looking to buy. Very busy. In fact, when we first profiled Amazon, it was only months ago, Jeff Bezos was number 4 richest man in the world. He's now number 2. And he moved to number 2 from 3 just in the last week when news came through about the acquisition of Whole Foods. And it shouldn't come as a surprise to you, because we were discussing dynamic pricing. pricings. And so effectively, while a lot of people are thinking, well, Amazon simply buying a real world retailer, there's a lot of people are saying actually the thing that they've really acquired is all that personal data on real world shopping. Combining it with their online shopping, a lot of the customers who use Whole Foods in the US are also Amazon online purchasers and customers. They're going to be able to do some amazing things for their own customers. They're going to cause some real trouble for current retail chains who have pretty low margins to start with. And Amazon operates on some of the lowest around. So serious questions about their competitiveness and sustainability while, you know, learning bucket loads very quickly from a going, sustainable, profitable retail chain. So things are looking very, very good for them. And a little aside for them as well is this Slack. I don't know if you're aware of the sort of messaging collaboration platform called Slack. Very popular amongst developers. Amazon also looking to acquire that. If it does, will be a very nice fit for its cloud computing platforms. And if you've got developers using a platform that then very nicely integrates into all of the systems that Amazon operates, you know, so much the better for them, and that kind of makes sense. And it was a slip of the tongue there for me to say Google, but I did actually mean to say that because back in 2007, a good decade ago, some guys looking to predict the future for a project coined this term Googlezone, looking at how these very large data-centric companies would start taking personalized information and huge dumps of data and start creating and upsetting the entire world. And I think I should post that again online. It's a very sort of dark future for the world. But just looking at it, you can see, wow, some of these things indeed came to pass a decade ago that they touched on that one.
I mean, it's just amazing how Amazon is shaking up the real world as opposed to just the digital world. I mean, yesterday the story out of Amazon was for the first time an online retailers allowing customers to try on clothes at home for as long as a week. It's called Wardrobe, and they're launching that to their premium customers, people that they know, people whose details they've got, so you're not going to disappear with five pairs of Levi's or whatever the case might be. But it's just, again, challenging tradition, challenging the store. You can order stuff online. You can bring 100 items home, try on what you like, send 97 items back. I mean, it's my kind of shopping, for goodness sake.
Yeah, they took that right out of the Netflix book, which was, you know, that their original thing was to send you a bunch of videos and, you know, watch them as long as you want and return them when you're done, you're done. And I imagine when you take deliveries to the final thing, because, you know, Jeff Bezos is also involved with sending us off the planet. Well, that's taking delivery businesses to the absolute extreme then, if he wants to go and send things to Mars and all over the other shows. So,
you want to say one more thing? Sorry?
No. I was going to move on to Pokemon.
Where you get a point? Okay, well, let's go. I thought Pokemon was gone. Is Pokemon still a go?
Well, Pokemon, given that 750 million downloads of the game happened, and this all in weeks of the thing taking off, you know, crowds of people gathering and all sorts of crushes, certainly in the US and Europe, and, you know, people in South Africa anxiously waiting or playing sort of bootleg versions of the game to try and get in on the hype. You know, that's past, and that will never be recreated for Pokemon Go again. But that doesn't mean that when you have 65 million odd players playing every month, you don't still have a very useful little business. A business that has generated over $1 billion in revenue for a little game on a phone that lets you see little animals running around in the real world, as it were. Then it really is quite remarkable. And they're busy rolling out their latest update. This is now coming up for the year anniversary. It's summer again in the Northern Hemisphere. And all this time, the gamers have been giving them feedback about what they'd love to do and ultimately what the actual game of Pokemon allows. And so they're starting to bring it in line with some of those things. And I can see another big rush of people playing, some more revenue coming their way. And in one respect, a great future for these games that get you out of your house, the kind of augmented reality.
It's wonderful. I mean, it does get people active. Just don't get run over. Quickly, Bitcoin. It's beginning to
It's losing a bit of currency. Some might say. it has had a phenomenal year. It's broken all of its records. It's some of the highest levels it's ever been at. But the challenge with Bitcoin is partly going to become its popularity. Its growth of scale is starting to have an impact on how long it takes for transactions to take place. It means that the community that's developing it are starting to have some pretty difficult discussions about how best to resolve that. The mining difficulty, because so many people have tried to jump on the mining thing, they're trying a way of earning yourself Bitcoins, that the energy consumption, the effort to try and verify a transaction in the blockchain is giving it some concern. And at the same time, all of these alternatives are coming along. And the one that I would say is looking perfectly primed to take over in the not too distant future is Ether, which is based on this Ethereum one. And considering that it was developed, co-founded by a guy who was born in 1994, it just reinforces that the world belongs to young people, man. And it's not going to be some old thing that's going to allow you to do that. There were five of them. The other two that we haven't touched on yet still is DJI. Actually, we did do Pokemon, so
we need to go. Colin Cullis, thank you. Business Unusual this evening. Talking about Bitcoin, by the way, on the next Money Show, I'm talking to personal finance expert Warren Ingram, and he wants to talk all about Bitcoin, and he wants to talk about it in the context of bubbles. That's going to upset a lot of people who are firm believers in the sustainability of Bitcoin. So that's a big one for Warren Ingram, plus small business expert Pavlo Fotidis. Let us know your questions. You can email me via our website and all.